In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I don't like this parable. I don't like this parable. Mostly because Jesus, my hippie savior, tells this story and he sounds like such a mean guy. Oh, he's worthless. Throw him out in the dark. On initial reading, it sounds like Jesus is saying, if you don't have anything, then you're not worth a darn to me. How many of you thought that the first time you read it? The one guy that was given one coin, who'd seen more of his servant, his master, than most other people had, said, I know that you're a little on the crooked side. So I buried it. Here's exactly back what you gave to me. You're not worth any more than that. On initial reading, then, it then sounds like that master said, wait a minute. Least you could have done was put it in the bank so I'd get interest, but you couldn't even be bothered to do that. Get out of my sight. That doesn't sound like my Jesus. Does it sound like yours? But as most parables go, it's got nothing to do with a guy and his three servants and his eight coins. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave five valuable coins, to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability, and then he left on his journey. The man with five coins and the man with two coins went out and did something with it. The man who had been trusted with one coin buried it away, put it out of sight, didn't do anything to help it grow. Put this with Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants too. Because God is the one who established it on the seas, God set it firmly on the waters. Who can ascend the Lord's mountain? Who can stand in his holy sanctuary? Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart, the one who hasn't made false promises, the one who hasn't sworn dishonestly. That kind of person receives blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God who saves. And that's how things are with the generation that seeks him, that seeks the face of Jacob's God. So maybe it's not about coins at all. Maybe it's about taking what God has given you and making it grow and using it and putting it forward so that it then grows. Try this one on for size. A family of five is given invitations to a picnic, bring a friend to the church. And they each go out and find a person. And that's 10 people sitting in church. And a family of two is given two invitations to a bring a friend picnic, and they each bring a person, and that's four people sitting in church. But the one person is given an invitation to hand to somebody to bring somebody to church, and they threw it away with their bulletin as they were walking out of the sanctuary. The lesson here is it doesn't belong to me anyway. Right? The church isn't mine. I call you guys my church, but that's only because there's plenty of other churches out there that lay some kind of claim to me. And I'm like, no, this is my church. I love you guys, and you will always be part of my church family, Greenfield and Westminster, but this is my church. But it's not mine. And the job I do isn't mine either. It's God's. And the things I've been given are not mine. They are God's. And it is my job, just as it is your job, to be a good steward of those things and to take care of those things and to help them grow and to flourish. That's biblical stewardship. It's not filling out your pledge card. It is. That's part of it. We'll talk about that next week. But it's taking care of the things that God has entrusted to you. It's taking care of and using the things God has entrusted to you. If God gives you the gift of being able to talk to somebody and to have an empathetic heart, and you put that away in a box on a shelf, then you're not using it the way God intended for you to do. If God's given you the gift of management, which, let's face it, is not a gift I have, and I know this about myself. If God's given you the gift of being able to manage people or money or any number of big things, and you put that gift away on a shelf and say, well, I'm not going to use it, then you're not doing what God has called you to do. It's like the guy who buried the one coin in the ground. It's not going to do anything but get dirty. But if you are given the gift of being an open and welcoming person, and you take that open and welcoming place and you go to your coffee shop, or you go to your Euchre Club, or you go to your Bridge Club, and you say, hey, we've got such and such going on at church, and it would be really great if you came with me. You're using your gift. It's not going to wear out. That's the thing about God's gifts, right? They don't wear out. They don't break. They don't run out. It's like, which Christmas, the bishop's wife with Cary Grant is Dudley the angel, right? And they go see the professor. You guys remember that scene? And the wine bottle keeps filling up because it's the gift that keeps giving. Because Dudley did whatever he did. And so every time the professor pours a glass of wine, the wine bottle fills back up again. That's how it is with God's gifts. That's how it is with the things that have been entrusted to our care. Use the gift that you're given. And if God is in the use, and if God is truly God the giver of that gift, and God truly is the one that called you to it, and it's not the world telling you what to do, that gift doesn't wear out. It may be the gift of being able to write a note to somebody who desperately needs a pick-me-up. It may be the gift of being able to put food on somebody's table who couldn't otherwise do it. It may be the gift to be able to drive somebody to an appointment. It may be the gift to pick up the phone and say, hey, I've been thinking about you. It may be the gift to constantly and consistently hold the members of your community in prayer. God doesn't just have three servants. It's on every last one of us to do something with the talents he's given us, with the coins he's given us, with the gifts he's given us. And yeah, we could go ahead and bury him in the ground. We could go ahead and say, I'm not going to use it up because I don't want to use it up. We could do exactly what the one guy with the one coin did and put it in the ground and forget about it. And when the Lord comes back and say, here you go, this is exactly what belongs to you and exactly the condition you gave it to me in. And God will look at us and say, that's not what I called you to do. This gospel reading is where we get the phrase from funerals. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the gates of the glory of heaven. This translation, you know, excellent, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me. We stop thinking about it as coins and we start thinking about it as people. We stop thinking about it as the 8 coins that he started with and we start thinking about it as our service people. We stop thinking about it as the coins and we start thinking about it as volunteering at the church, showing up, bringing a friend. Biblical stewardship is about taking care of what is God's, and the answer is this: it's all his. It's all his. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the relationships we're in, the resources we've been given, there's not a penny of it that's mine. It is all God's. Biblical stewardship is making it a way of life and practicing that in everything you do. And so when you show up on Monday to help unload the truck, why? Because it's not the pantry's food. It's not our food. It is God's. And the people who come on Wednesday morning are not just the food insecure of Gratiot County. They're God's. And those of you sitting here and our friends who are not with us today are not just Ithaca First Presbyterians, they're God's. And the sooner this world figures that out, and the sooner we hold on to that truth and can proclaim it and own it, just maybe then we will finally stand a chance of having peace in this world. It doesn't belong to us. It never has. It belongs to him. And if you think somewhere in your mind that you don't have a thing you could give him, thinking about the line in the verse that we're at now, if I were a shepherd or a wise man, think on this. You're worth enough that God gave his only son. That God took on human form, came down here, lived our messy lives, gave his life in the most horrific, painful way there is to do it, and rose again from that grave 3 days later just to prove he could. Every other gift pales in comparison, but every other gift is just as important. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't have it. Every other gift is just as valuable as that one. Live your life that it's not buried. Without a doubt who you belong to. You belong to God. And how awesome is that? Amen.